سورة مباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.
اللهم صل على
محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم
صل على
محمد.
صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم
صل على محمد. My dear brothers and sisters, elders of the community, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we look at the Holy Quran, we find that there is a group of verses of the Holy Quran which talks about wilaya or walaya according to other people. These verses are the ones which talk about the leadership, and they talk about sovereignty, that authority belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes Rasulullah, and after him, Ulul Amr. And according to the understanding of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Ulul Amr are the A'imma of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And of course, you can have their Nawab, Naim of Imam. Looking, for example, at Ayah 257 of Surah Al-Baqarah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu, yukhrijuhum min al-thulumati ila al-nur, walladhina kafaru awliyatuhum al-tawhut, yukhrijunahum min al-nur ila al-thulumati. أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. Now this ayah specifically, ayah 257 of surah number 2, is one of those very important verses when we talk about the issue of walaya. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wali. Allahu waliyu alladhina amanu. Those who believe, their wali is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as those who disbelieve, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ, their wali, their guardian is طاغوت. And the meaning of طاغوت here is shaitan and everyone who misleads people. So when we look at this ayah that Allah is وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it means that the sovereignty and the authority, the final authority is at the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in other kind of looking at this particular ayah, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing us on the issue of how we manage our affairs in this world. How can we have that idara of our affairs in this world? How can we have that administration of our affairs in this world? And looking at the Holy Quran, we find that, for example, another category of verses, أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولَ وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. Obey Allah, obey the messenger, and those who have authority amongst you. Now, keeping all these groups of verses in mind, then the very crucial issue will come to us. How do we administer our affairs in this world? How do we organize ourselves in this world? Now, this question is very important because it does a lot, it has that connection with the very important aspect of our lives in this world, and that is idara of our affairs. إخواني وأخواتي مسألة الإدارة في الإسلام من المسائل المهمة جدا. هذه هذه المسألة تتعلق بقضية الولاية أو الولاية كما يسميهم البعض. قضية الولاية هي من القضايا الأساسية في حياة الإنسان، ونحن كالمسلمين نرى أننا إذا أهملنا هذه القضية سوف نعيش حياة ضنكة، ويكون لنا معيشة ضنكة في هذه الدنيا، وسوف نخسر كذلك في الآخرة. ولكن الحمد لله من ميزة الإسلام نرى أن الله سبحانه وتعالى لم يتركنا سدى، ولم يتركنا هكذا بدون أن يكون لنا الطريق في هذه القضية الأساسية. ولذلك نرى الآية السابعة بعد 250، يعني آية 257، الله سبحانه وتعالى يتكلم عن قضية الولاية، حيث يقول: الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور، والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات، أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. لكن حينما ننظر إلى واقعنا الحالي نرى حقيقة لدى الكثير من المسلمين عندنا ما يسمى بسوء الإدارة. يعني حينما نأتي إلى الغرب نرى أن الغربيين عندهم نظام دقيق في كل أمورهم، وحينما نذهب إلى الشرق نجد كثيرا من المسلمين ليس عندهم حسن التدبير في أمورهم. هل العيب في الإسلام أو العيب فينا؟ بلا شك وجود الآيات في القرآن الكريم والأحاديث النبوية الشريفة تدلنا على أن المشكلة ليس في الإسلام، بل المشكلة في المسلمين، هم الذين ليس عندهم إدارة جيدة. ولهذا السبب ينبغي أن نتكلم مرارا وتكرارا حول هذا الموضوع المهم. When we look at the issue of how we organize our affairs, how do we administer our lives in this world, we find that Islam is that religion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed Muslims because of the issue of Idara. You look at many of our practical aspects of Islam, you see Idara, you see administration, you see organization. Take for example from the time when we are born, you will see that Islam says when you get a baby, don't just have that happiness and that's it. When you have a baby, you have to follow some aspects of how you nurture this boy or girl. Number one, you do adhan in the right ear. Number two, you do iqama in the left ear. Number three, on the seventh day, you have to do walima, shave the hair, give the baby a name. You see the administration there. You see a proper organization from the time when the baby is born. And not only that, when you choose a name, make sure you choose a proper name. Don't just call your son or girl any name you want to call. Why? Because one of the rights of the children, according to the hadith of the Holy Prophet, is to give a baby the best name. So you see the issue of idara there. At the time of marriage, we as human beings, Islam doesn't say when you have the urge, you want to stay with a woman, or a woman wants to stay with a man, just stay without following principles of Islam. You see idara there. There is issue of nikah, there is issue of mahar, there is issue of hijab and kabul, there is issue of wali. All these are saying that you have to organize your lives. And of course, when we die, even at that time of death, there is idara of how should we take care of a dead person. And of course, when you look at the practical aspect of Islam, when it comes to the issue of salah, there is administration there, there is organization there. If you pray alone, you know how to follow the principles salah to say Allahu Akbar. Before he goes to ruku, you are not supposed to go for ruku. You have to wait for him. When he says Allahu Akbar, he goes for ruku, then you follow. Similarly to the issue of sajda and so on and so forth. When we look at the administration of salah, we see two things. Number one is wordings, and number two, actions. In terms of wordings, you have a leeway. You cannot follow the imam in each aspect of the wordings. For example, in his ruku and his sujood, you can say a bit, you can choose a different form. But when it comes to the actions, you are not allowed to proceed the imam in his ruku as well as and sajda. You look at the aspect of zakah and khums. You see administration there. The aim is to eradicate poverty. The aim is to minimize poverty. The aim is to share that wealth which you have and those people who do not have. When you come to the issue of Hajj, in terms of organization of Hajj, you have never seen a congregation which is more organized in all over the world except during the Hajj time. How many millions of people come together to perform the rituals without causing any problem? And of course, we see almost the same thing when people go for ziyarah. You see that administration there, because sometimes to control people, to organize them, even if they are few, is not easy. You see the aspects of idara in almost every aspect of our lives as Muslims. Talking about fasting, the month of Ramadan, the time of iftar, the time of suhoor, and so on and so forth, you see idara within the Islamic aspect of our acts of worship. Now, these all are telling us that Islam is the religion of organization and administration. As I have said, the problem is within you and me when we don't put the teachings of Islam in our practical lives. When you look at the life of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you see Rasulullah is very organized. In Makkah, he knows the affairs of Muslims. Even when they were few in number, they don't have a proper masjid to do their salah. He says, we will go to the desert and pray there. Until when they had this particular house of Al-Arqam bin Abil Arqam, they were meeting there for salah. You see organization. You see the organization of Rasulullah when few Muslims were facing difficulties. He says, now is the time for hijrah. Organization. In Medina, not all of them did hijrah. They went according to the plans of Rasulullah. You see administration there. The Holy Prophet reaches Medina. He says, first thing we need to do is to write peace treaty. That Medina charter between us and the people of Medina, Muslims and non-Muslims, in order for us to live according to the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And until the end of his life, you see administration. Of course, after the death of the Holy Prophet, things were a bit up and down because there was no Rasulullah. And I agree with the dua, all of you and myself, when we say Allahumma inna nashku ilayka faqada nabiyyina salawatullahi alayhi wa alayhi. Ya Allah, we complain to you that Rasulullah is not with us. Why? Because that idar is not there. You see, at the time of Khilaf of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, you see the idar coming back again. Why people were against the third Khalifa Uthman bin Affan is because that idara was missing. And unfortunately, some of his family members were using Islamic positions for their own benefits. And this caused problem to the third Khalifa. When Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen came back to power, he said, even if person was given money from Baitul Mal and he uses the money for marriage, I will make sure I take that money back. You see, idara of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this caused a lot of problems because there were many people who were used to this organization. Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this clearly, all Muslims, they agree that when Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was called in that assembly of six people to choose Khalifa, he was one of them. Abdul Rahman bin Auf said to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, raise your hand, we choose you as our Khalifa. He said, I'm ready. But then Abdul Rahman said, but there are three conditions here. Condition number one, you will have to guide people, you will have to lead them according to the book of Allah, Quran. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, no problem. Condition number two, you have to guide and lead Muslims according to Sunnah of Rasulullah. Imam Ali said, no problem. The third condition, Abdul Rahman bin Auf said to him, you have to lead Muslims according to Sunnah of Shaykhain, Abi Bakr and Umar. Imam Ali said, no, I'm not ready to lead Muslims with that condition. I know Kitab Allah. I know Sunnah to Rasulullah. But Sunnah to Shaykhain, where did you get that as a condition of a Muslim leader? He said, I'm not ready. And Abdul Rahman bin Auf said, okay, if you are not ready, step aside. Uthman, are you ready to lead Muslim with these conditions? When he said yes, they elected him as the Khalifa. So you can see Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen in his understanding of Islam and leadership and administration, people need to be guided and to be led according to what Allah says in the Holy Quran and according to the teachings of Rasulullah. Now when you look at Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen in his Khilafah, you see that there was a lot of positives. He gave the administration of many places to people who were ready to follow his teachings. One of those people is Malik al-Ashtar. Malik al-Ashtar, who is known as Malik bin Harith al-Nakhai, was a loyal companion of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. He accepted Islam when Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen was sent to Yemen. There was this period of Islam when the Holy Prophet, just before he passed away, he used to send people to do tabligh or da'wah. Khalid ibn al-Walid was sent to Yemen to call people to Islam. But because of his administration, many people didn't accept his way and they rejected Islam. Then the Holy Prophet sent Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen to Yemen. When Imam reached there, the people of Yemen pelted him and his soldiers with stones. They thought his administration is like the administration of Khalid ibn al-Walid. Imam was quiet. When they finished, he approached them with his wisdom. He conveyed the message to them. Most of the people of Yemen became Muslims because of hikmah of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. And it was among the people who became Muslims, you see Malik bin Harith al-Ashtari becoming Muslim, Kumail bin Ziyad, Hujr bin Adi al-Kindi, and many others. And it was here Malik was attached to Amir al-Mu'mineen because of his wisdom. You see Malik al-Ashtar, his idea was purification of the heart, purification of the soul. And that's why you could see him after few years of Islam, he was so pious man, very humble man. And it was here always he wanted to be with Amir al-Mu'mineen sallallahu alayhi. At the time of Uthman, you see Malik al-Ashtar fighting against the bad administration of the governors of Uthman, and he spoke openly against this particular idea. While he was in Kufa there was this governor by the name Walid bin Uqba bin Abi Mu'id. Walid bin Uqba, according to historians and mufassirin of the Holy Quran, they say ayah number 6 of Surah 49, Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in fatabayyanu, they say that this ayah was revealed to this particular person, Walid bin Uqba. He was a fasiq. Unfortunately, he was made as a governor of Muslims in Kufa, and he used to drink alcohol openly. When Muslims came to see how can a governor of Khalifa drink alcohol openly, they started complaining. But unfortunately, their cries were not heard until one day Walid bin Uqba bin Abi Mu'id decided to come to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. As the governor, he was the Imam of Salah. He was drunk and he prayed Salatul Fajr 4 rakats. When people complained, he said, "Don't complain against me. I can even pray more than 4 rakats." You can see the administration reached to this particular level. And that's why Malik al-Ashari decided to complain against this particular person, and he was exiled to Homs. And there, he was again exiled to other places. While he got his freedom, he decided to go to Medina to complain to the third Khalifa. While he was there, we know that the death of Khalifa happened. He was with Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Imam Amirul Mu'mineen looked at Malik. He said, "You are the person I want you to be in my administration." And he sent him to be the governor of the city of Kufa, the same city. Why? Because he found him to be a man of administration. And you can see Malik al-Ashtari participating with Imam Amirul Mu'mineen in the Battle of Jamal and in the Battle of Siffin. And in the year 38 of Hijra, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, when he received news from Egypt that there is a lot of problems and troubles in Egypt, when he sent his son Muhammad bin Abi Bakr as an adopted son of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, when Muhammad bin Abi Bakr complained that people in Egypt are not listening, and Muawiyah has sent spies to cause problems to Muhammad bin Abi Bakr, then Imam Amirul Mu'mineen chose Malik al-Ashtar and he said, "You go there to lead people. Go and assist Muhammad bin Abi Bakr." When you look at Nahjul Balagha, you can see there is letter number 38 in Nahjul Balagha. This is tazkiyah of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen to Malik al-Ashtar. What the letter says, "Ila ahli Misr, lima walla, lama walla alayhim al-Ashtar." Imam writes, he says, "Min Abdullah Aliyin Amir al-Mu'mineen, from the servant of Allah, Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, to the people of Egypt. Amma ba'du, faqad ba'athtu ilaykum 'abdan min 'ibadillah. I'm sending to you one of the servants of Allah." Then the letter continues to say, "La yanamu ayyam al-khawf." He doesn't sleep. Whenever there is fear, this 'abd min 'ibadillah doesn't sleep. "Wala yanqulu 'anil a'dari sa'atil raw'." He says he doesn't fear the enemies when there is fear. He is a warrior. "Ashad 'ala al-fujjari min hariqin nar." He says he is ashad. He is more severe to the sinners than the burning of fire. "Wa huwa Malik bin al-Harith akhu Madhij." He is Malik, a son of Harith from the tribe of Madhij. "Fasma'u lahu wa ati'u amran fi ma taba al-haq." Listen to him, obey to him, so long as he follows that which is al-haq. "Fa'innahu sayfun min suyufillah." Because he is one of the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "La kalilu dhubar," its sharpness will never be blunt. And he sends Malik to Egypt. While Malik al-Ashtari is on his way to Egypt, Imam Amirul Mu'mineen talks to him, he gives him instructions, the instruction which is very important to all of us today. Not only at that time, even to us today. Now, Malik on his way, he's going to Egypt. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan received the news that Malik is going there. Now they are listening to this news. If Malik reaches Egypt, Egypt will be with Amirul Mu'minin. So they decided to kill Malik al-Ashtar. Muawiyah talks to his advisors. They said, we can poison him by honey. Let us buy honey and find someone who will be able to poison Malik al-Ashtar. Yes, a person is found, and the person goes, he says, I know Malik will pass through this way. He goes to one of the houses to wait for Malik. Malik al-Ashtar comes. This man goes to Malik and he says, oh, governor of Egypt, we want to welcome you for a lunch. And Malik, unfortunately, he hears his words. How could he refuse the invitation of a Muslim? And he says, okay, I will come home with you. The poison has been mixed with honey, is put on the table. Before they have lunch, Malik tests the honey, and he swallows that. Immediately, because of the power of poison, he feels the pain in his stomach. He puts his hand on the stomach and he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And few minutes later, he passes away. When Muawiyah receives this news, he says, now I have cut off two hands of Ali bin Abi Talib. Now I have cut off two wings of Ali bin Abi Talib. The first wing was that of Ammar bin Yasir, and the second one is Malik al-Ashtar. Imam Amirul Mu'minin receives the news of the death of Malik al-Ashtar. He cries a lot. He says, this was one of my pillars. Now he is gone. For this, he says, Malik to me was not a normal person. The way you see me to Rasulullah, that was Malik al-Ashtar to me. Wallah, we have never heard such a statement from Amirul Mu'minin except from someone like Malik al-Ashtar. Now, coming back to the instructions which Amirul Mu'minin gave to Malik al-Ashtar when he was on his way to Egypt, he says, according to the Nahjul Balagha, there is letter number 53. Brothers and sisters, especially young audience, please, when you get the opportunity to read this letter, read it. Letter number 53 in Nahjul Balagha. This letter is that which carries the instruction of Amirul Mu'minin to do with idara, organization. Kofi Annan, when he was Secretary General of the United Nations, he looked at this letter. He said, this is the letter which we need to have for administration. Rajiv Gandhi of India, when he came to power as a minister, Prime Minister of India, he opens the assembly of his ministers. He started reciting this particular letter. Brothers and sisters, Muslims, followers of Ali bin Abi Talib, it will be shame if you and me don't read this letter. We leave it to Kofi Annan and Rajiv Gandhi to read and get the education from the letters of Amirul Mu'minin. What does he say? The letter talks about the classes of people. How to have the administration of Ar-Ra'iyya fi ayyi baladin kan. And then Imam talks about the duties of the government. What are the duties of the government? Distribution of wealth. How to take care of orphans. Maintenance of handicapped people and disabled people. Imam Amirul Mu'minin talk about this particular day, this particular issue. I remember there was a time I had an interview with BBC in London to talk about the issue of disabilities and disabled people on Islamic side. I called many of the teachers I know to say, what does Islam say about disabled people? Give me ayat of the Holy Quran. Give me a hadith from Rasulullah. Most of them couldn't give me. Why? Because we don't have a lot of information to talk about disabled people. You come here in America, you go to Europe, you see specific places for handicapped. Go to Mecca and Medina and Samarra and Iraq and Karbala and Qum. Tell me if you see that, what we see here. That idara is missing there. That idara we see it here. But alhamdulillah, Amir al-Mu'mineen has spoken about that in Nahjul Balagha, letter 53. So he says, take care. And how do you take care of the handicapped? Then he talks about the army. He talks about how you give ranks to the soldiers. He talks about generally about the human administration on this letter in Nahjul Balagha, letter number 53. This letter is so important, brothers and sisters, we need to read it. You can see, for example, in the letter it says, ثُمَّ اِعْلَمْ يَا مَالِكَ وَأَنَّ النَّاسَ يَنْظُرُونَ مِنْ أُمُورِكَ فِي مِثْلِ مَا كُنْتَ تَنْظُرُ فِيهِ مِنْ أُمُورِ الْمُلَاتِ قَبْلِكَ. When you become a governor, people will look at you as a governor and they will find those negatives the way you look at other governors. وَيَقُولُونَ فِيكَ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِيهِ. They will say exactly what you used to talk about other people. وَأَشْعِرْ قَلْبَكَ الرَّحْمَةِ لِلْرَعِيَّةِ والمحبة له واللطف به. When you rule people, you need to look at them in that eye of mercy. And you need to love them. And you need to be show that humility to them. وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعًا ضَارِيًا تَغْتَمِمُ أَكْلَهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ سُلْفَانٌ. Don't be like a lion to attack the people when they make mistakes. Know for sure that people are divided into two groups. Imma akhun laka fiddin, imma akhun laka fiddin. One could be your brother in religion, wa imma nadhirun laka fil khalq. Or he can be your equal in creation, in humanity. So there are two types of people, according to the letter and instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen. When you become a leader, don't mistreat people because they are not Muslims. No, people are two types. They are those your brothers in faith, and they are those who are your equal in creation and in humanity. Unfortunately, when we look at the history of Muslims, we find, for example, at the time of Harun al-Rashid, Harun, who is known as al-Rashid, Harun al-Rashid used to do one thing which is very bad. Muslims, they used to wear any type of cloth they want. Non-Muslims, you have to wear light color, yellow, for you to be seen that you are not a Muslim. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says, no, such a thing will not happen in my governance. Then Imam alayhi salam says, فَإِنَّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ. Because when you go and govern people, you will be above them. وَوَالِ الْأَمْرِ عَلَيْكَ فَوْقَ. And your khalifa, your imam will be above you. وَاللَّهُ فَوْقَ مَنْ وَاللَّهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the one who has given you this wilayah. So I'm repeating, my brothers and sisters, read this particular letter. Let us get the benefit of it, rather than to leave it to those who are non-Muslims, who say that when we read this particular letter, we see that human administration from Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. This particular personality, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, Asadullah al-Ghali, Imam al-Masharik wal-Magharib, day like today, he is injured. People are fasting, unfortunately, Ali ibn Abi Talib is not fasting. Why? Because he is marid. Wallah yaqul, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرْ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the one who never missed fasting, he can't fast today because his condition is not very good. His family members are surrounding him. They are looking at him. The doctor has been called, physician, come and look at the condition of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He takes a thread, he puts the thread on the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Yesterday I was talking about this picture. The doctor is putting the thread on the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The thread sinks. When it comes out with the brain of Amir al-Mu'mineen. The doctor says, let me close my bags because your imam will not be able to live longer. Prepare for the funeral. Day like today is the day of Musiba. Ahlul Bayt are going for iftar. However, their father, the in the list of followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, and to make us follow the sunnah of Rasulullah according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our tawfiqat and to accept our a'mal.